Yo, Terashai, ki Terashai. I'm like anime no jikan da yo.
Hello, friends. And welcome back to I'm Like Anime, the spooky edition.
Ooh, spooky.
Not quite Halloween, but it is Friday the 13th. If you've seen our thumbnail for this episode, you may already be aware of that. But yeah, we're joined again. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's Tony, by the way.
I am Tony.
Hey. Hey, how are you, Tony?
He's George.
I'm George.
I didn't say your name either.
Yes, George, Tony.
Yeah, those are our names.
We're ghosts. Ooh. We don't need names.
And for this special Friday the 13th episode, we're going to talk about nothing but Toilet-Bound Nanako. No?
I watched the first few episodes. Isn't it Hanako? It was Hanako.
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. I think it's Hanako.
Could be.
Bunch of nerds that got really upset.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, fellow nerds.
Actually, that's what they're going to say.
Actually, wrong channel. we're going to get a cease and desist.
Actually, like anime.
Actually, just put actually in parentheses. Right. Actually, like anime.
Yeah.
I'm actually though. That's a, if you're listening to this show, you're likely nerdy, and that's a fun nerdy game show. So shout out to them.
Yeah, what is it's on College Humor or something, or what is it?
Yeah, Dropout is their
streaming.
But I don't know if it's technically College Humor anymore. Cause I remember hearing that they kind of split off from College Humor.
Yeah.
But they also have episodes on YouTube, so you can watch it there. But yeah, we are back this week in anime. We're going to talk about some anime, and we're going to, you know, that came out this week, and we're going to start with the spookiest. Really the only spooky thing. We're going to lead with it.
No, it's all going to be spooky anime. Everything that we cover is going to be spooky anime.
We're going to have to, like, fit in some spooky angle.
We're just going
to
figure it out.
Tony will be like, I didn't like this show.
That's not spooky at all. That's completely normal, everyday occurrence. Yeah, so Theater of Darkness, Yamishibai, Season 9.
Episode 4.
Five, yeah. Paper Mache Tiger is the title of this episode. And yeah, you know, it's got that standard Yamishibai sort of creepy vibe, but not like scary or super creepy or anything like that. You know, just dead people.
Yes.
Being dead and turning into spirits. You know, the usual.
And if you're not familiar, this is a short, so the episodes are only 4 minutes long.
Yeah, 4.5.
Yeah, and I just watched this one. Like, that's what's nice about them. They're easy. They go down smooth.
I also just watched it, although I had watched it previously as well.
You've seen it twice, so you got a lot of thoughts.
I know everything that happened in this episode. I could talk about it for at least 4.5 seconds. That's 1 second per minute of runtime.
There you go.
I think we've already exceeded my time limit, though.
Yes. This wasn't my favorite that I've seen so far. I started with season 9.
Right.
But it was okay. I don't know. There wasn't a lot going on.
Which was your favorite that you've seen so far?
Probably that I brought this up last episode, I think, or maybe that was off mic. I don't know. Time's a blur. But no, the one with probably with the teacher reading her students.
Yeah, that was episode 3, I think.
Might have been two or three. Yeah. We just looked at it and I already forgot.
Oh, yeah. 2 was the rabbit hutch.
But I think it's kind of fun. And then there was the one last week with the dog. That Shiba, it was cool. Yeah. It's nicer. I've noticed so far, it's nicer when there's more locations or there's like another layer, like the teacher reading the student's story, and then it like all ties into you know where she's at. But like this paper mache one, it was like just one setting really, and just you know you've said before, like a lot of them kind of end up being predictable because they're only 4 minutes long. So
yeah.
At a certain point, you're like, okay, this has to end in a spooky fashion, so
right.
There's only so many ways it can go.
Yeah, pretty predictable the way that one went, but, you know, it's still, you know, got that creepy vibe. Like, hey, it's Friday the 13th, guys. After you're done listening to our episode, go and just watch all 9 seasons. Well, there's 8 plus the current season of Yamishibai. They're like 4 minutes, 13 episodes, right? How many minutes is that?
I wonder, I'm not going to do that math, but I wonder, I refuse. In fact, if you want me to do math, we need a lot more patrons on our Patreon.
All right. So 13 times 2 is 26 times 2 is 52. That's 52 minutes per season, eight seasons. So you're under 8 hours. You know,
I had a thought though in the future, but it would probably require you to rewatch all of them. But if I watched all of them and like we could do like a top 10 or something like that and like compare,
I would probably have to rewatch them. I there are some that like stand out in my mind that I remember, but like going and finding them, I'd be just as well off just rewatching the entire thing. Probably, yeah, you
just
know,
doing it. Maybe Halloween. We got, you know, we get till October.
Oh yeah, that'd be into next season, right?
Yeah.
I think next season starts beginning of October.
Which my birthday is right then.
It's right around there.
But yeah, I don't know. That's an idea. But we should probably move on. I talked about this show almost equal to the running length of the episode.
And that's how we like to do it with shorts. But it's the Friday the 13th episode, George. So everything we talk about has to be spooky. That's right. None of these other shows are spooky. So we just have to talk about Yamishibai the whole time.
But we're going to shoehorn spookiness.
All right. Well, let's see how you can do that with the Aqua Taupe on White Sand.
Aqua Taupe. So this is one of two shows that features an ex-idol. It's funny the parallels between the two. But Aqua Taupe this season, last week's episode ended with the cliffhanger that this ex-idol, whose name is Fuka, her mom showed up, and she to this where is she? She's in
Okinawa.
Yeah. And she's kind of playing hooky. She basically didn't tell anyone. They were all expecting her to arrive home, I believe, in Tokyo, or I don't know where, but she took a plane to
somewhere up north, I think. No, she was in Tokyo doing the idol thing, and her family was up north. I don't think it was Hokkaido, but it was somewhere up north. Anyway.
Yeah. And so she had eventually told her mom, but like for at least a couple of days, like her mom was kind of, you know, as you would be, extremely worried and whatnot. And so she has showed up at this aquarium. And I remember being, when she showed up, I was like, oh snap, here we go. But the mom's not too bad. You know, I was wondering if she was going to be like, you know, just kind of over the top, you know, strict or
She could have been super angry. She could have, you know, she could have been a lot of things, but she wasn't. She was just a very caring mother.
Yeah. She's reasonable and she was very polite and you know, she was there to do two things, to get Fuka, take her home, and to thank this family that had taken her in and you know, been so good to her. And so she first arrives at the aquarium and she's kind of having tea or whatever, meeting with the grandpa of Kukuru, who they, you know, she lives with. And also the other guy, I forget his name. He's an idol fan, adult guy that works there. And
yeah, I can't remember his name either. The one with the bad back though.
Yeah.
Oh, what is his name?
Yeah, I didn't write it down.
Dang it.
But Kukuru goes in there to like serve them drinks and stuff, and then she kind of like lingers a little bit, and then she hears Fuka's mom saying like, you know, I'm taking her home. And so she runs out of there and she goes and tells Kukuru, like, it's like a sense of urgency. It's like, run, you gotta go. Like, and she's in that moment, I think, you know, she's looking out for her, she's thankful for Fuka like helping her, you know, pursue her dream, even though it's still kind of ongoing. But I was a little confused at first because I was like, you know, she literally just, you know, Fuka's like, where do I go? And she's like, well, see ya. You got to go run. So they put her in this disguise and whatnot. And the whole episode is kind of...
Speaking of, I want to talk about the disguise because they put her in like sunglasses and like this hat, very touristy looking hat.
Yeah.
It's like an Okinawa hat and it says OKNW.
Yes.
Which would be sort of like just the initialisms of Okinawa, okay.
That
right?
Makes sense, yeah.
I spent not a small amount of time this week trying to find that hat. And I was unable to find it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm probably going to like create it on, you know,
nice.
One of those places where you can make your own, you know, hats and stuff like that, just so that I can have that hat because I want that hat.
I should just add that to our merch.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really design it, but I don't know.
It doesn't exist.
As far as I can tell, I could not find it. So so yeah, maybe it'll be available on the merch page.
That'd be cool.
Probably work on it this week. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Oh no, you're fine. And I was just trying to set that up because this episode had like that sense of urgency where it was like, you know, we got to go, we got to do this thing. And at first, I was like, I didn't think, you know, she was actually going to leave. But they really pushed this along. And there is a purpose, I think. But through the course of that, she ends up going to the little restaurant kind of diner or whatever that's, you know, one of Kukuru's friends works at. And I really like this girl. I wrote her name down, I think. Yeah, Tsukimi. I don't know.
Don't they call her Udon, though?
Oh, do they? I thought the restaurant was called that. Maybe they do call her that.
The restaurant has some other name that I don't remember. But I think her nickname is Udon.
Yeah, I was looking on my anime list to see her name, and yeah, they didn't list like a nickname or anything. But yeah, that does sound familiar, so that's probably right. But yeah, she—I like her. She's fun and she's got a lot of energy, and she's just kind of like a little hyperactive, maybe. And to me, this is the food scene of the week. Anime food alert. I don't know. I love it when they have like detailed, you know, art of someone cooking and just like the. I don't know. It's peaceful and soothing for me. And I like that. And yeah, so essentially it just, she meets with her mom, who turns out to be the fortune teller that she originally met happenstance when she arrived in Okinawa, you know, initially. And so she finds a place where she can go stay in like a neighboring town, and she's taken her there. But then she remembers this fish that was... I think she kind of remembers just everything she's leaving, but she also remembers this fish, which was a, I thought I wrote it down. I was Googling about this fish, a coral something.
It's like a grouper or something, wasn't it? Was it a grouper or a...
That wasn't the name.
Hans Gruber, I think. Hans Gruber.
It was like a coral Benny, Blenny or something?
Oh.
Coral Blenny?
Yeah, I think maybe they said Benny. Maybe it is Blenny. Blenny? I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, coral Blenny, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I was reading about them and I don't know. It's interesting. She kind of, I didn't really find too much out, but that would be relevant for this. But that's kind of like she identified with that fish and kind of hid behind a lot of prettier, you know, more pretty fish and then wasn't doing so well. And so she has her turn the car around and she goes back. And so I think the whole point was that it bought time. I mean, for us, it was like this urgent thing, but then it bought time for the mom to like kind of see, you know, hear about how she's doing and like she's really into this aquarium, and so she ends up giving her blessing at the end. But that was essentially it, probably.
And then and when she goes back, she finds out that the fish is dead.
Yes.
And then the fish comes back to life and puts on a hockey mask and starts hunting her with a machete.
This is true. Actually, there was this is true.
This is all true.
I'm so good at improv. That doesn't quite happen, but I think it was heavily implied. There was a scene which isn't super spooky, but that I really liked. It was just this little tidbit, and it was when the mom, because the mom starts at the aquarium, they take her to the house, you know, because she wants to thank the mom, and then they get her like, or the grandma, and they give her some plum sake.
Yeah.
And she gets a little, you know, a little tipsy. So, it buys time for Fuka, like running around. But then when she gets back, she wants to check out the aquarium. And they just show like an establishing shot inside the aquarium. And it's like the way in this room it's set up is you can be on either side. It's kind of in the middle of the room. And it shows two like middle school girls like posing for a photo. But the person taking the photos on the other side of the aquarium, you know, that tank, and they're like pretending like they're drowning, you know, like, so that's a little spooky. But I thought it was just so cute. It was like a 2-second scene, but just really nice, like, detail of, you know.
Yeah, it's nice when they spend the time to just throw in little details that make the scenery more real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, more lived in. And yeah, so I appreciate that kind of stuff. But, but yeah, overall, I liked it. I mean, it's a good show. And I mean, this episode not only established, you know, resolved the whole mom thing of like, you know, you ran away, but then it continued to further the bond between the two main girls. And it's very sweet and loving, caring show that is nice to look at as well.
Yeah, it's very nice. I had a small problem with the plot, and it's not really a problem with the writing. I think the writing is actually accurate in this regard. It's just, So Fuka wants to stay at the aquarium, but her mom wants to take her home. So what does she do in response to that? She leaves the aquarium. Like, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
You don't want to leave, so you're going to leave so that you won't have to leave.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that sounds like a sort of teenage girl thought process. So that's why I'm saying, like, it's not a fault of the writing. It's just like stupid teenage girl thing, I guess, right?
Yeah. You know? I think Kukuru probably just panicked. And and that's what I was trying to say earlier, because that also bothered me, like, while watching it. But then by the end, I was like, okay, that wasn't the purpose. It was like to get the mom to like get to know these people better. And, and like, she was hearing from the grandma, like, oh, you know, she didn't want to live here. She didn't ask to live here. She wanted to work at the aquarium, you know, like, and so mom kind of gave her mom pause of like, maybe she does have something here. She's already formed these connections and she's not just like, you know, being evasive. And, you know, she probably assumed like she's depressed and I don't know, hiding away from home, but you know,
I mean, which is true.
So I don't know. I totally agree with you, but it does kind of fit. Yeah. The teenage girl, like, or just teenager thought process of how to solve this problem. Like, yeah, it's so, so dumb, but
I want to stay here, but my mom wants to take me home. So my mom can't take me home if I'm not here. So I should leave here so that I don't have to leave here.
Yes.
It all makes sense. Well, and I mean, maybe the plan was that she was just going to hide out with the aunt for, you know, like a week or something and then come back.
Yeah, maybe. They didn't really establish that.
Yeah.
It's so funny how everyone was on board with it. Like even the udon girl's mom was like, okay. It reminded me when I was in high school, I ran away from home and it lasted all about 2 days. But my buddy's mom had a very different parenting style, very lax. She was like, yeah, you can live here. Like she just totally was like, you live here now. And I remember later that night, my mom, like I left, I like took all my important stuff and just left my key on the dining room table. And my mom finally figured out where I was and like reamed the other, you know, my friend's mom. Just like, what the hell? But it reminded me of that. Like, yeah, you just, you think you can just leave or escape your parents and you cannot.
But yeah, she eventually comes back and shouts at her mother a little bit about how she wants to stay. And then her mom's like, it's fine. I already decided that. Stop yelling at me.
Yeah. But she I think she also in that moment sees the connection between the two, you know, two girls. She has something there. So, and then she also expressed, the mom expressed like not really like Fuka left home early, like before finishing high school or whatever to do the idol thing.
Right.
And so she's felt like this deficit and being in her life. And so that was an interesting, I don't know if they'll explore that anymore or maybe not.
Yeah. That was, I mean, yeah, it's interesting to see it from the mom's point of view too. She's like, yeah, she left when she was, you know, just out of middle school maybe, or maybe she was still in middle school even.
Yeah. Not sure.
To go do the idol thing. And mom was like, I just haven't really had my time to spend with her or anything. So I was really looking forward to her coming home so I could spend time with her. And now she wants to hang out in an aquarium in Okinawa for some reason.
All right. These kids.
I mean, the mom could just stay probably, you know.
Probably could. Yeah. She'll probably visit at some point, I imagine, during this.
Yeah, I feel like she'll be back. Yeah. I mean, we've got 24 episodes.
Yeah.
She'll be back.
But yeah, so we should probably move on. We both like that show.
I feel like we could have done that one as one of the spotlights this week. But
yeah, maybe.
So next up we have number three is Remake Our Life. I guess the main reason I put this so high on the list is they're taking the week off next week, or it's a recap next week.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I figured I might as well catch up on what we've got so far, which is, you know, kind of the same as what it's been so far, except it's a little bit less filmmaking now. Now they've decided that they're going to make a video game because one of their roommates is basically overworking himself, trying to make money to pay for his own tuition because his parents don't want him going to an art school because he comes from a family of doctors. So they want him to be a doctor and they refuse to pay for his art school. So he has to pay for it himself by, you know, working two jobs or something like that. Anyway, he's, you know, sort of killing himself overworking. And so our main character has the idea that they should make some doujinshi game. And that whole process gets set into motion and it doesn't go quite as smoothly, I think, as our main character thought it was going to go. Him having come from the world of, you know, professional game development, like on the lower end of it, but still like, and he's
feeling now, a little cocky.
I mean, I guess he's just, he expects more of his roommates than I think they have at this point, because he, at this point, has recognized who most of them, if not all of them, are in the future.
Oh, like, really?
They're people that he's heard of, that he knows from the video game industry, and he knows how talented they are. So I think he goes into this thinking that maybe they've got at least close to that level of talent that they have in the future, but it's 10 years in the future. They've had 10 years more experience. So anyway, so he gets in a little over his head with this, but I'm sure it'll turn around and come out all right next week, or whenever it, you know, concludes. I'm guessing next week will conclude this sort of mini arc. Or not next week, 2 weeks. Yeah, because next week is a recap, as I said. So anyway, yeah, it's a good show. It's still, yeah, still a good show. Still enjoyable.
Yeah, I've been somewhat interested from some of your descriptions. Yeah, I like the unique characterizations there of, you know, one student, you know, his parents refusing to pay and all that, like, and having to work two jobs. I mean, that's very, you know, true to life.
I mean, I haven't mentioned the almost harem-esque romantic stories that are going on, but it's fairly light. But I remember early on we were talking about his two female roommates, and I said, well, there's another male roommate, so it's all okay. It's not a harem. But
yeah,
of course, both of these female roommates are basically in love with him, and there's like some jealousy between them. And then there's another girl, his future boss. She seems to be into him as well, although she's a little more tsundere, I guess. Not much dere, actually, just a lot of tsun. But yeah, so there's this sort of building harem thing going on a little bit, which is a little off-putting, I guess, but it's not bad yet.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes.
Is it worrying you, like, on a creepy sense, or just in like a, this is shoehorned?
Not creepy or anything. It's just, I don't feel like it's necessary.
Yeah.
Like they could have written it. I don't know. I mean, they could have written it a lot of different ways. Who am I? I don't write things. I can't really criticize, I suppose, but,
we do criticize. That's what we're doing.
Oh yeah. That's my job. I mean, they could have written it differently so that, like, there's one main romantic interest. But he doesn't seem to really be into any of them, but he sort of goes along with it. He realizes they're into him, and he just sort of goes along with it. And that's where it gets that sort of harem vibe to it, where it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah. There's too many male protagonists, like, keeping their options open, you know,
yeah,
not committing to anything.
Yeah.
And then just having girls fall over them, ad nauseum.
Yep. Yeah. It's sort of that, the fact that it is a trope that we recognize, and
yeah,
I'm starting to recognize that trope in this, which is a little disappointing. But the rest of it is pretty solid. So I think, you know,
yeah, it's just kind of on simmer in the background there.
Yeah. It just, it pops up every once in a while. It's just like, okay, all right, fine. Anyway, I guess that's all I got to say about that. What do you have to say about the next show?
Kageki Shoujo. That's right. On to the other ex-idol show, I should say. Yeah, I like this show. This episode, it was all right. Like, it wasn't my favorite or the most. I think they've set like some tonal things, uncomfortable character elements that have been very evocative and just, you know, even hard to watch it sometimes, but like been portrayed pretty well. So this one, by comparison, is like, you know, not so, you know, it's a little lighter by comparison, but it's still a good episode. But essentially, you know, these first year students are kind of bored by this one class that they're in, just kind of like studying the basics and the Stanislavski method of acting, and, you know, just kind of, it was mentioned at one point, I've heard of it before.
I don't think it's an F though.
Yeah, Stanislavski.
Stanislavski.
Yeah.
God. You were really close the first time. You just said F instead of S.
I know. You couldn't just let it go. No, fair enough. You are a highly trained actor.
You've known me for how long? Have you ever known me to let anything go?
Oh, my God. But anyway, so they...
Wait, one of your favorite shows is Actually, and I just Actually you in real life. You have to appreciate it. All right.
They would, not even they would be that petty.
I don't think that's true.
I do. One letter difference. All right. So yeah, they're bored and they kind of talk about it outside of class. And of course, you know, with Sarasa and you still have the, I mentioned it last week, Sarasa and I have become friends, but then I is like, has never had a friend. And so she's very uncomfortable and doesn't know what to do about, you know, even what to call her friend. She keeps doing that thing throughout this, you know, up until the middle point of this episode of being like, you know, trying to call her Sarasa. She'll be like, Sara, Watanabe, son. Mm. And I kept thinking after a while that Sarasa would have taken note of that because she started doing this last week.
Yeah.
But she doesn't say anything until the part I'll get to. But yeah, so they're talking about outside of class of like, I wish we could do something else, like act, you know, and actually like do the thing. And so during class, Sarasa, you know, being the loudmouth, the you know, no filter personality she is, raises her hand and asks the teacher, and she ends up doing like a all the teachers, you know, mention expression, you know, it's all about expression and your acting. And so she does all these impersonations of these different teachers saying that. And then he essentially says like, you know, this is how we
smack our mic stand.
Still vibrating. This is how we do this. You know, it's been that way for, you know, as long as the school's been here. But then he was like, if you can do an impression of me saying expression, then I'll consider it. And so she does it, and it's funny, and the girls think it's accurate, but he doesn't say anything till the next day. And then he gives them this project. He's like, we had a board meeting and you're going to do a Romeo and Juliet scene, but there's not going to be any instruction. You're going to be in groups of four and you're going to study, you know, independently and then, you know, in your groups, but like without instruction, and then I'll give you critique. And so they're all freaking out about this. And, and then I wasn't expecting, I mean, it makes sense that Sarasa and I would be in the same because to progress their character, you know, their dynamics and stuff. But I was like, I mean, there's like, you know, at least 15 or 20 girls in this class. Like, what are the odds that, I mean, you know, the odds are concrete there, but yeah, they end up together as well as, one of the twins whose name I think is Chika. Sawada is their surname. And then Hoshino, who's kind of the controlling, I don't know, kind of, I don't know, uptight one, I guess.
Mm.
It's a blonde one. But yeah, so they all kind of like do rock, paper, scissors, figure out who's playing who. And it seemed like the twin, there was a whole thing where like her, you know, her sister was in another group. And this twin had the option, she won the rock, paper, scissors. So she had an option to be Juliet. But she, I don't know, she caved and gave it to, essentially gave it to I, which I thought was it. And then she, and then her sister got it, and she had turned to her, and it was like a thing, I don't know. So I don't know if they're planting a seed of her character. They seem to pay off things, so I'm paying attention to that.
Mm.
But yeah, that's essentially this episode. But then the B plot is they find out it's Sarasa's birthday that day. She didn't tell anyone, and so I gets her a present, and it's this like figure, like I don't know if it's related to like Kamen Rider or something like that, or
some masked thing.
Yeah. But anyway, it's at this point, the only part I'm trying to get to is where she finally calls her Sarasa, but Sarasa has to say like, stop calling me, you know, so treating me so formally, like we're friends. And so she does it, and I don't know. It was a nice moment. Like, they had to get there. Like, how long can you keep doing this?
Stop calling me Sara.
Sara
Watanabe-san. Just call me Sarasa.
So, yeah. I mean, the only other things in this, I mean, they do their performance, and it's kind of, you know, get to see more of, like, their personalities come through. But we find out that I can't read kanji, and I also can't read kanji. So we have that in common.
Wait, what?
The character I...
No, I understood. I was just pretending that I didn't.
I see.
I can read some kanji.
You can read more than Narita I, it seems.
I doubt that. But I haven't seen this episode, so I don't know.
Maybe you haven't?
No.
Oh, shit.
Maybe some of the kanji that she is reading, I actually, or not that she's unable to read. Maybe I do know that. I don't know.
Maybe we'll see.
Maybe I'll have to see.
I forgot that you weren't caught up on it. So, I'm sorry. I spoiled a lot of it.
No, that's fine. Cause I dropped it. Remember?
Kageki?
I dropped everything on Funny, remember?
But you now have access to Funimation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that's all I get. What do you get?
I do sort of regret having caught up on a different Funimation show. Like, basically, to test out to see if Funimation was working, I started one of these shows that I had dropped, and then I watched all of it. I sort of wish I had just watched this one. Anyway. What do we have next? I don't even know what number we're on. Oh, we're on number 5. The Great Jahi Will Not Be Defeated. So this is episode 2 of this. It's getting a little bit more into other characters. Like, there's another character from the Demon Realm that Jahi runs into and sort of has some interactions. And then Jahi is searching for the dark mana crystals or whatever, which I guess is what held the Demon Realm together. And when it got shattered, that's what broke the Demon Realm. So she's looking for the fragments of these. And this other girl who is seemingly an airhead and was basically a lower level person in the Demon Realm, has somehow managed to collect a whole bunch of them or something. I don't know. It's all right. I really don't know how much more of it I'm going to watch, to be honest with you. Like, it's fine. It's very much what it seemed like it was going to be. And it doesn't seem like there's much more to it than that. So, yeah, it's okay so far. But I'll probably drop it next week.
Ah, dang. Crystal Shards reminds me of Inuyasha.
Is that what they were looking for?
Yeah. That's kind of the main call to adventure.
Mm.
And also dealt with demons.
Yeah, and I felt like when watching this, it felt like she was... I haven't watched much Dragon Ball, but it felt like she was looking for Dragon Balls.
Oh, okay,
you know, yeah. Like, it had that same sort of... I don't know.
Yeah. Because it seems like it should just try to be light and funny, but then this whole, like...
It is mostly, but yeah.
But they still gotta, oh, we're looking for crystal shards.
That's right. I mean, the whole point is that she has to reclaim the demon realm, all while working a job and, you know, paying rent and worrying about food and stuff, and yeah.
Yeah. Kind of seems like the type of show that just would never happen, you know? It would just... She would just be in a... constant state of trying to find
constantly them. Searching for it. Yeah. I imagine that's probably the case. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's Jahi. Brings us to Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, which, you know, those shows probably aren't. I haven't seen Jahi, but I bet there's some similarities there.
You saw the first episode.
I saw part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some big old boobs. It was a joke. Joke with
speaking
the boobs.
Of big old, oh, we aren't there yet.
Well, no, yeah. Speaking of big old boobs,
I guess we are. Actually, I forgot. I forgot what show we were going to talk about.
This is the second season of Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, and don't have a lot to say. It's a pervy comedy that that has moments of heart to it, and I like it. It's funny and it's still good. Like, first season is probably funnier at this point, but I'm still enjoying it. This one, I mean, we just get the history of Toru, the main dragon, and Elma, and we know them as rivals, but we get their whole backstory of how they met, and they at first, you know, weren't that way, and they kind of, throughout the whole episode, they kind of splice these scenes in of them, you know, being by a campfire, and or like one of them falling asleep on the other's shoulder and whatnot, and it was sweet. And then the second half of the episode was about this new character, Ilulu, who has giant knockers. To your eternity. Just kidding. But yes.
Wait, are there giant knockers in To Your Eternity?
Well, there's, yeah.
It's not the show that I was referring to.
But I know. I was just making a reference to the bad guy in To Your Eternity, knockers.
Oh, the knockers. Yeah. All right. Gotcha.
Because I can't let it go. So yeah, Ilulu, this character, you know, this season came to this world, our human world, and she has joined the family, so to speak. And everyone else kind of has their responsibilities. Like, the younger one goes to school, and Toru's the maid. Elma works at the same office that Kobayashi works at. And so Lulu's just like in this scene, like rolling around. She's like reading a book, and then she like falls asleep, and then she's like rolling around on the ground, and then she like rolls back and runs into the coffee, you know, lands, you know, hits the coffee table and stuff falls off. And then Toru's like, you got to get a job. I'm just setting this up for this one joke that is like pervy, but it made me laugh. So they go to like the shopping district and she's looking to see like what kind of job she'd want. She's like, I can't work at this butcher, I'll just eat all the meat. And I can't work at this flower shop because I'll just destroy all the flowers, because she's a chaos dragon. There's like different factions of dragons. Mm-hmm. And then she finds this candy store, and she likes kids. She likes playing with kids. And so she ends up getting a job there. And then this granny that owns the candy store, she has a son that's like in school or whatever, a high school or whatever. And she gives, on her first day, gives the uniform to him to deliver to her on her first day. And so he does that. And then they're in the candy shop, and she's at the counter and he's on the other side, and he's like, oh, this is your new, your work outfit. And she's like, oh, clothes. Okay. And then she goes, it's just like, she's wearing like a short dress essentially. And she just goes to take it off, like right there. And it doesn't really show much. It's like really quick, but he's like, wow, what are you doing? Like, don't do that. And she's like, oh yeah, right. Shame. And then she just goes to do it again while calling him a pervert. And he's like, no, go in the other room. I just love, she was like, oh yeah, shame. I recently learned about this human thing you have. Anyway, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to explain that joke that made me giggle.
Sounds funny. Probably better if you watch it.
Probably, yeah. I actually watched it like 3 times because I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
Okay. So next is I'm talking slowly because I'm looking at a list and I found it. Now I'm talking faster. 2 Year Eternity. Speaking of knockers.
There's the knockers.
There's no knockers in this episode, but...
Well, they reference them.
They reference them, but this is mostly just the fallout from Fushi having lost the fight to... What's her name?
Hayase.
Hayase, yeah. Yeah, the fallout from that. Hayase essentially kidnaps Fushi because he's unconscious, and Tonari... Tonari and friends try to save him and ultimately sort of fail, but then sort of succeed. And then
he ends up saving them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then they get to finally leave the island. They've the thing that they've been wanting, but then she gets to keep Fushi, or she tricks them somehow. I don't remember exactly how that goes. How did that go?
Yeah, I mean, basically when she won the Colosseum battle, she just announced to everyone that Fushi is hers, and that anyone that wants to get behind her in her mission, you know, will be, you know, will gain something. But then she's also like, also I'm making Tonari the head of the island or whatever, right. Basically like targeting her to be murdered.
Right, because that's what happens when someone wins this competition, is they immediately get murdered so that there's another competition, basically.
Yeah. But then when they go to save Fushi, and then, but I was thinking about this after, it's so stupid, because he basically tricks Hayase, because Hayase hears them coming, and so she has her men take Fushi down to, like, you know, down to the basement or whatever. Uh-huh. And then, but then we learn later when he saves them, because they get backed into a corner, Tonari and the her friends, that he had turned into the mole. Mm-hmm. And like basically created like a husk of himself.
Husk, he said, yeah.
It's like a new thing he can do. I don't know. But it was like a mole.
Well, just
mole,
like
mole form.
So he can make a spear from his body, and then he can throw that spear, and that spear is not really part of him anymore. It's just a husk. So he did sort of the opposite of that. He turned into the mole, leaving behind the husk of the boy.
Yeah. And so they carried that down, and then he, as the mole, kind of creeped up on him, and then he has Hayase at like sword point, you know, against her neck or whatever, and so he says like, I'll kill you, and he seems to mean it. I'm like, why not just kill her, like, but instead he makes a deal that they, you know, let them go.
He doesn't like killing.
I know,
that's why.
But he seemed like he meant it. I don't know when he said it.
He probably would have if forced to.
If he had to,
he would rather not. He'd rather find a different way. Yeah.
And I get that. But yeah, he's essentially like sacrificing himself, like let them go, and including Pioran. And then I will be your guinea pig, essentially. Mm. And so they do that. And then also this, just the idea of this bothered me, because Tonari can take people with her, up to 700, they said. And so she decides to take all the children, 7 and under.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's just a bunch of orphans now. Like, like seemingly, I mean, not all these kids, but seemingly some of them have parents. You know, they show, actually, they show some of them. They're like, see you later, Sonny.
Yeah. Here, take my baby.
It's like, okay, who's going to raise these kids? But that's what she does. But then for some reason, when they're getting ready to leave, Hayase like just like drugs them all, like sedates them essentially, all the Tenari and the kids, and puts them on the ship. I thought at that moment she was, you know, taking back the deal. But
yeah.
No, that wasn't the case. But then that was supposed to put them out for 2 hours, but Tenari just wakes up in like 10 minutes. And I was confused by that. I was like, is that something that should mean something? Or like, yeah, she's unaffected by...
I was too, because, I mean, they make specific note of that. And the only thing I could think of is maybe she had built up some tolerance to it because of the previous, the food thing with Fushi, where Fushi made the food with the poison in it.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's
like,
right.
Like sort of accidentally.
And she wasn't out for that long.
But she didn't eat very much of it either at that time, but she also wasn't out for very long that time. So I don't know. Yeah. Something about her, she's resistant to it or something. So,
yeah.
So anyway, yeah, she wakes up before anyone else does. And then her boss and the captain of the ship, who up until this point seemed like they were more on Hayase's side.
Yeah.
Are now on her side. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll get you, you know, so you can go rescue your Fushi.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
And that's what got me wondering, like, did Hayase sedate them because she assumed that they would try to come save Fushi again?
Maybe, yeah.
And then Tenari just wakes up immediately.
It's the only thing I could, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have faith that it'll all be explained maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like slowly coming around to Tenari. Like I was thinking about this too, because with March and Gugu before her, we got to, when they were first introduced, we got to see life from their perspective. It kind of switched at a certain point, like not entirely, but like we got a lot of like March and like what her life was like and the people around her and, you know, her personality. And the same with Gugu. We got a lot of time with Gugu and you know, what he's all about. And we did get a backstory for Tenari, but when she was introduced, they had this, you know, they had kind of had to have this whole mystery element of, you know, her kind of duping Fushi into going to where he went, and the fact that Hayase had told her to do that.
Yeah.
Even though she didn't know Hayase, unless she did, and she's saying she doesn't, but it's like she just listened to this stranger. I don't know. So it's a little confusing there, where I don't understand it, and I, because of that, I'm not as invested in Tenari. Like,
yeah,
if she dies in 2 episodes, I don't know if I'll.
Well, we got 3 episodes left. So
that's true. That's true.
I still think that's not going to happen, because it's been it's been set up that this is what happens. We meet new characters, and we sort of like, you know, come to love those characters, and then they get killed. With Tenari, we haven't. Like, I guess we like her all right, but we aren't as attached to her as we were the other ones.
Yeah.
Maybe we will become more attached.
Could be, yeah. But I don't, yeah.
I feel like at this point they have to sort of set us up with that expectation that she's going to die, and then she doesn't. Or that's just what I expect.
Oh, okay.
Like they're gonna expect them to subvert the expectation.
Yeah. Which is, yeah. That's what I thought they were going to do at Gugu. But I guess they'd only done it once before. It wasn't really a pattern at that point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, twice if you count the boy, I guess.
Oh, that's true. But that's true.
The boy was really short, so.
Yeah.
Not that he wasn't tall. I mean, the story that we got was not very lengthy.
Yes. Don't speak ill of the dead.
He's probably like 5'2", right?
Yeah, and that's tall in Japan.
I mean, for an 11-year-old boy, probably, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, to your eternity. I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, I'm still kind of on this like arc of,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm not gonna stop watching it. Got 3 left.
Yeah, I mean it hasn't paid off at all yet. It feels like they're still setting stuff up.
Yeah.
For whatever's gonna pay off in the next few episodes. So I don't know. Yeah, just waiting to see that. Interested to see. I mean, I'm still interested to see how it's going to end in a way that they couldn't have just done 13 episodes Like, why do we have this extra half a season, right?
Yeah. Like, it's either could have just been one run or just been a full, like, 24 or something. Like, why do this, yeah. like,
I mean,
middle
I guess
of the road?
The Gugu arc pushed over a little bit, but not much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's odd. I'm not sure why they're doing it the way they're doing it.
I agree.
Speaking of 20 episodes, Jahi, which I mentioned a while ago, is for 20 episodes.
Really?
Yeah. Weird. Strangely.
It's like a new thing.
Yeah. It was like a later start too. So instead of doing, it's going to push through and then three quarters of the way into the next season or something, I guess. I don't know. It's weird the way they do these things. Because we're week 6 right now, right? Which means we have 7 weeks left, which means it'll be halfway over.
Yeah.
Well, not quite halfway over. No, I guess, yeah, with 7 weeks left, then it'll go fully through the next season. All right, yeah, okay. I don't know.
So that at least makes a little more sense with lining up, you know, the end of a season.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah, and I don't know why they did it that way. I guess that's it. You got anything else to your eternity?
Nope.
No? Then we're on to a show that I caught up on somewhat accidentally.
Oh, boy. Oh, Sunny Boy.
Speaking of big knockers.
Oh, yeah, that was like the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, but, you know, indicative of where the show's going from here.
I don't know about that. We'll see. I mean, yeah, I did think that, but, yeah, they were more covered than I'm used to seeing giant breasts in anime.
They were more giant than I'm used to seeing giant breasts in anime.
Well, you should watch Miss Kobayashi. Yeah. I mean, not that you should,
or prison school,
just for scale, just for purposes of scale. Yeah, I mean, that's the episode does end with that. But
well, where does it start?
It starts with them. I don't really understand. They found like this weird pool that is kind of fun to jump in, I guess. But the whole point is that it sets up the main character, whose name is. Wrote it down. Nagara? Yeah, Nagara. He's looking like he might jump, you know, into this pool thing, but then someone pushes him, but not far enough, and he's about to hit like this rocky part that's jutting out. Mm-hmm. And we get a little more insight into his power that he has, and like kind of changing where they are, like kind of mm-hmm. can transport them to so it kind of sets off this whole, you know, episode. It transports them to like a baseball diamond momentarily, and then it's back to the little swimming mm-hmm. cove, mm-hmm. and that sets up this whole episode, the baseball and monkeys.
Yeah. So it's like wait, is this also the one with the frozen people, or was that last?
That's the previous.
That was previous episode. Okay. So this whole episode is monkey baseball.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go. Monkey baseball.
Monkey baseball.
And then giant boobs and done. Ready to move on to the next show?
I like this show a lot. I don't know. We can move on.
I was just joking. I expected you to have more to say about it.
I mean, I do have thoughts, but, you know. I just think it's interesting. I guess I'll save them because I feel like for me, each episode of the show is building on themes that, you know, that I will speak more on later. So I put it lower on the list because I've already talked about it quite a bit and I want to save it up.
Well, I just caught up on this. I watched episodes 2, 3, and 4 and, it's weird and doesn't make sense and is somewhat interesting. And I was this last episode I was particularly disappointed in because it's really just about monkey baseball and like, what? Like a whole good portion of the show is just, what's his name? Ace or something?
Well, Cap.
Cap.
Yeah.
Cap just monologuing about monkey baseball stories and like talking about like years of backstory on this monkey baseball, but I assume they haven't been there for years. So how does he know the years of back? And it doesn't make sense. That's it. It doesn't make sense. And I don't care about monkey baseball.
I didn't think I cared about monkey baseball. I ended up caring about it. I think because I've noticed with the start of each new episode, most of the time it seems like it doesn't pick off immediately from where the last one left off, you know?
Well, it's certainly true in episode 2 when I started watching that. I was like, wait, Did I miss an episode? Did I start on the third episode accidentally? What's going on?
And it's the way they do that is jarring and it's confusing, but I'm into it because I haven't felt that lost. Like by the end of an episode, like, you know, kind of figured everything out. Like, I feel like I'm on the, I've enjoyed the experience of that, of like starting an episode and being like, wait, what's happening? And then, okay, wow. All right. And then, yeah, kind of one more piece in the puzzle, like, you know, like a little puzzle box.
So they start off the episode by jumping into something and leaving you confused, and then they slowly throughout the episode explain everything you know so that you're no longer confused about the thing that started the episode.
I mean, it's kind of everything in totality. Like, I feel like between each episode, stuff has happened, but they're not like being like, oh, like, you know, you have to know all these things before we start, or we're going to just like, you know, just tirelessly like drag you through them. It's kind of like, no, there'll be a bunch of context clues. People will talk about certain things and it'll like, you know, it'll all become apparent, you know, what's changed, what they've learned and what, you know, what's different from the last, you know, end of the last episode.
Yeah. But that's intentional and by design that they reveal that information that way. They could just as easily reveal it like a normal story.
Yeah. But that's why I like it. Cause it's kind of a peculiar,
it is setup. Peculiar.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, I guess if you don't have anything else to say about that, then we can move on to Peach Boy Riverside, which, you know, I thought was going to be the one that was confusing because of the time jumps and stuff like that, but not as confusing as Sunny Boy, anyway. So, Peach Boy, what did I have to say about Peach Boy? This, we're seeing the aftermath of last week's episode where Bunny Girl...
Oh, Frau.
Yeah.
Just came to me.
Yeah. Where Frau sort of turns into a demon. Well, she dies and then comes back as a demon and then kills the vampire guy. We see the aftermath of this where the vampire guy is dead and his soul's hanging out. And the angel who helped Frau come back sees him and says, hey, you're dead, aren't you? You need to go to the light or whatever. And he's like, oh, hold on a minute. They're about to, you know, burn my body at the stake. So I'm just going to hang out and watch this. Sort of macabre, I guess, but I don't know. And then they have some discussion about, you know, how humanity basically sucks because they're all so happy and elated at seeing this corpse being burnt. Yeah, a little bit of that. And then I guess that is actually after the angel girl, whose name I can't remember, visits Frau and turns her back into normal Frau, gets rid of the demon wings and all that kind of stuff. And then basically sounds like they're going to set out for their next adventure now, I think is sort of where it went. Not a lot going on other than, you know, sort of opening questions like, I mean, questions that we already had, like what's the relationship between Frau and this angel? And I think there's a little bit more of the other Peach Boy. Actually, there's quite a bit more of that. It's about half the episode now that I think about it. And it reminds me in some ways of Spider from last season and the previous season. Not in story or anything like that, just in the fact that there are two different stories. Not that these ones are separated by time. They're happening at the same time. It's just, we've got the story that I care about and the story that I don't. And yeah, I gotta say the other Peach Boy, I don't care about his story.
Is this the original Peach Boy or just another?
It's just another one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think any of them are the original one.
Oh, okay. He's like
just sort of offshoots of, yeah.
Yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah. But yeah, so we've got like Frau and Sally and, Carrot is the former Oni girl, the loli.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then they've got the normal human guy who I think used to be a police officer in the city where they killed the walrus guy or something. Anyway, we've got that crew. And then we've got the other Peach Boy, whose name I don't remember, the talking dog. And they, yeah, okay, so this is where the nun comes in. They run into this nun who is not raped, by the way.
It's got to get that R word in there.
Well, just to differentiate.
Not raped, not
raped. Just to differentiate it from Edaten, where, you know, all nuns are raped.
I mean, yes, it's a law.
This is an unraped nun. Anyway, and they run into her, and the Peach Boy guy figures out that she's an Oni, goblin. What? Not goblin. What's the word? Ogre.
Okay.
I guess is the English most common English translation of that. Anyway, she's an Oni who apparently has run away. Her horn has been like cut short and down to a stub or something. They run into another Oni and he's like, "Oh, hey, I came here to take you back." And she pulls the rest of her horn off and says, "Look, now I'm human. So now you have no reason to kill me, Peach Boy. Kill that other Oni." And where does it end up? Oh, and then we get a time skip forward where she's like waking up in town because she lost a lot of blood and passed out after pulling her horn out. And he says, "Oh yeah, I was going to kill that guy, but he ran off." And now she's apparently part of his crew. So he's building his crew and Sally's building her crew. And, and we've got like these two stories going on. Anyway, yeah, don't really care about his story that much.
So just like in Spider, the idea I imagine is they'll meet, they'll cross paths eventually.
Yeah, but I mean, because of the way the restructuring, the rejumbling of the story goes, they have crossed paths.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know whether that is in the future from what I'm currently seeing or in the past. I don't know. I don't know why they did it that way, but
yeah,
it's what they did. And, I mean, I understand a little bit of why they did what they did, but,
Yeah,
I don't know.
You understand like why they started where they did, but yeah, not how they handled the other stuff.
How they handled putting the other stuff back in.
Yeah.
Just seems rather random, actually. Anyway. So, yeah, their paths have crossed multiple times, in at least once in the past that we know of, and twice in the past episodes.
Okay.
But at different times.
Not sure.
One of them could be in the future or could also be in the past from the current timeline.
Wow.
I don't know. It's a little bit of a jumbled mess. Doesn't really matter because it seems like it's, like I said last week, it's doing that episodic thing where it's like, we're going to go on an adventure to a new town and do this. And apparently this other guy's going to be doing kind of the same thing, except he's, you know, this Oni killing psychopath. Yeah. That's Peach Boy.
Cool.
I haven't seen any rivers yet, so I'm not sure what the riverside is. But
well, I remember the peach floating down the river or something.
Right,
that was
right,
like,
yeah,
part of it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the story of Momotaro.
Okay.
I don't know why it's called Riverside, I guess.
Yeah.
Just sounds cool, probably.
Riverside.
And then the last show we have to talk about is My Hero Academia. Yes. Episode number 107 is not out this week. George, you said something about the Olympics.
Yeah, I'd heard that some shows were going to be disrupted from the Olympics. Mm. I heard Love Live Superstar, even though you dropped that. And I wasn't watching it. I heard that was one. And then My Hero, yeah, was another.
Huh.
But because the closing ceremony just happened this weekend. Okay. And My Hero usually comes out on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I think that's... And I don't... But some of these other shows, like, come out around then and weren't interrupted. But I don't know if it's because
My Hero... Networks or something, maybe.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, like, My Hero... That could be, because, like, My Hero, Love Live, those are two big properties. So they're probably on the more popular channels.
Yeah,
I see Olympics might be on too. Like,
yeah, I don't know what network any of the shows are on, really.
Yeah,
like,
no idea.
It's not something I pay. I know that Yamishibai is on TV Tokyo, but okay, that's only because we watched it right before this episode, and I saw the TV Tokyo logo.
Nice.
Which I think is a channel.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, TBS, isn't that?
That is one.
That's one.
Tokyo Broadcasting System or something, right?
NHK.
NHK is one. Yeah,
but. We can name some.
That's all we got. I mean, I guess if you paid attention, you would see it at the beginning of every episode, like which network it was on. They usually say, but I don't implant that information into my brain. It doesn't process in that way, I guess.
It's usually not relevant.
Yeah.
Unless it's like not. Golden Week or the Olympics are hosted in Tokyo. I'd imagine.
I mean, it's weird because when I'm thinking about it, I can actually recall some older shows and what networks they were on. And I remember what networks they were on, not because I watched them on the network, but because when I watched them, I saw the network logo. That's a weird thing.
Mm.
It's a weird thing.
Well, I can tell you that Love Live is on NHK, but My Hero is on NNS, whatever that is. Nippon Television Network System. That's what it says. So yeah, those are two different ones. So I don't know. That's weird.
I don't know. Maybe they both air at the same time on different networks and both of those networks were covering. I don't know.
Maybe.
That's just my best guess. I have no idea.
All right. But either way, it was less stuff for us to watch, and I don't mind that.
And just like the Olympics, we are over. Bye. No, just kidding. You can find us on all the socials, you know, the places. I talk about them every week. Maybe you don't listen this far. Maybe this is your first time listening to it. Maybe I should name all the social media networks. Have you heard of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Reddit or... George is just laughing at me. all of those places at Umlike Anime. That's UMLIKEANIME. Our website is umlikeanime.com. You can buy merch at merch.umlikeanime.com. We got some new merch today. I got some new merch, some of which was presents for George. But yeah, we have some Umlike Anime swag.
Yes.
Our patrons are all going to be getting some Umlike Anime swag too. Anyone that supported us in season one up in season two, up until I think last week or something, I forget what I set the cutoff at, is going to be getting some, you know, some little pin button things with the Umlike Anime logo, the season one background, from the thumbnails on those, and an extra button of their choice. Some of our patrons have gotten back to us about which extra button they want. Some haven't. So if you are a patron and you are listening to this and you haven't gotten back to us about which button you would like, go check on Patreon and let us know. Even if you're a former patron from season one, you still get the rewards.
Oh, nice.
And we're doing a similar thing for season two patrons. The rewards are not yet announced, but anyone who becomes a patron of ours before, I think it was October 1st that I put it as, check on Patreon, you'll see. There will be some season two patron rewards. So, you know, join at whatever level you can support us at, $5, $10, $15, $25, $50, $500, whatever. You know, numbers.
Yeah.
And like numbers. And you could get some cool swag with funny logos that I make that are homages to different animes that we watch. I'm not sure. Again, not sure what the rewards will be for season two yet. We'll have to wait and see how many patrons we get.
Yeah, I think that would affect it for
sure. Yes, yeah. The number of patrons... The number that we can order of a thing affects how much they cost. And, you know how that is. Anyway, this has been the Umlike Anime Podcast. And I have been Tony, and I still will be Tony, even after this is over. But you'll be George still?
Yeah, as it stands.
Are you only George during the podcast? Or
I'm scheduled to be George for the next couple of weeks. We'll see if I re-up it or not.
All right, cool. Cue the music.
Bye, guys.